In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You are about to listen to a life-transforming teaching by Reverend Joshua Tende, lead pastor of the Father's Delight International Ministry worldwide. As you listen, may the Word of God build your faith, enrich your spirit, and transform your life. God bless you.
Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. These prayer sessions are so refreshing, as if we should just continue. Please sit down. This should be the fourth session, isn't it? This is the fourth. So I've almost finished. Hey, kudina kareke na. Aye, Pastor Mark, kudimu yakare da wereaga. Amen. So I want to follow my heart and just pick some things that I believe very important. So what I want to talk on now, but my judgment, I should be done in 20 minutes. So if I finish that one, I will take the next one. But I see 20 minutes, maybe you are the one dragging me. I title it Direction, Preparation, and Manifestation. Direction, Preparation, and Manifestation. Amazing. Well, thank God we finished one. This is the second thing we are doing now. Two out of eight. We judge God faithful. Direction, preparation, and what? Manifestation. So, let me do something quick. Give me 30 minutes. If I finish that, I will take another 30 minutes for another session. Luke chapter 1, from verse 80. Luke 1, verse 80, concerning John the Baptist. The Bible says about him. Who is projecting? Luke 1, verse 80. So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the desert or in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation. Amen. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the desert until the day of his manifestation. Hallelujah. Now, this is Luke chapter 1. Probably if we back up to verse 15, you understand better what we are reading. The birth of John the Baptist, from verse 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people of the Lord. Say amen. How many of us know this prophetic word brings direction to the life of John the Baptist? Did you get that? Now, so go to verse 80. After direction, see what we read next. I want you to get, if you just understand the message behind this message, then I'm ready to stop. After he received direction, see what the Bible tells us next. The child grew. He waxed strong in the spirit and was in the desert. These three things. Until the time of his manifestation. You see, these three things we read. Growing, waxing strong, waiting until his manifestation. They form what is called preparation. Preparation. Did you get that? The child grew, waxed strong in the spirit, then was in the desert. He was waiting in the desert until the perfect timing. They constitute what? Preparation. Whatever assignment God has for you cannot be handled by a little child, not a baby Christian. So it requires spiritual growth. Are you with me? Divine assignment requires spiritual growth. Part of that spiritual growth is part of preparation. Preparation. Praise the Lord. There is maturity in Christ. There is also maturity for your assignment. Sometimes we have the assignment from God, but we are not yet matured for the assignment. In other words, God will first prepare you for the place He has prepared for you. He will prepare you for the place He has prepared for you. If you arrive there without preparation, you will make a mess of the assignment. Say hallelujah. So I want you to notice, first is what? Direction. Second is what? Preparation. Then the last stage is what? Manifestation. John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the day of his manifestation. Same thing about Jesus. Prophets have spoken before he was born. He was born into direction. In fact, Jesus knew that he came to die to save the world. But for 30 years, he was going through preparation for an assignment that lasted 3.5 years. Please, I want you to note this. Very important. Preparation time is always greater than manifestation time. Preparation time is always greater than manifestation time. Are you with me? Preparation time is always greater than manifestation time. So please hear me. I'm begging you now. You will thank me tomorrow. Every divine instruction requires immediate action. Every divine instruction requires immediate action. But most of the time, I'm adding to it now, most of the time, the immediate action requires is preparation, not manifestation. Praise the Lord. Did you get that? Okay. Every divine instruction requires what? Immediate action. But most of the time, the immediate action requires is what? Preparation, not manifestation. If you understand me, thus far, say amen. Let me break down this further. I will soon enter the story of Moses. Once I enter there, you understand all I'm trying to say. Are you with me? You remember we said, he that believeth shall not make a heart. You know the definition of haste? Seeking manifestation without preparation. Haste is simply seeking manifestation without preparation. Haste is what? Seeking manifestation without preparation. So any assignment God gives you that you want to get into manifestation without preparation, you are in a haste. Are we together there? Come on now. Are we together there? Now, remember, in the previous session, I've differentiated to us between major decision and minor decision. Are you with me? If I am working in Zenith Bank and this is my colleague that we are together, I looked at him one day, then an instruction came to my heart. Talk to him about Jesus. I cannot say I need preparation. Are you with me? That kind of instruction does not require preparation. It's quick action. Are you with me? Or you just hear in your heart, this brother needs half a million. Give him. You won't say, I need 5 months to prepare. Then God would have used somebody else. He would just bypass you. Are you with me? From the instruction coming to you, the first thing you should do is discern whether it's an instruction that requires immediate action or is the one that requires preparation. If it is immediate action, just jump in. I give you an example. When God is dealing with you about sowing seed financially, you don't need preparation. Action. The time you want to prepare will make you doubt the word you have received. Even if you don't have the money, text the person, I owe you ₦1,000,000 God said to give you. So keep reminding me till I give you. Thank you for one amen. I was really waiting for it. Praise God. Also for certain instructions, you just act immediately. But some other instructions, from the way you hear them, they are pregnant. They are major instructions. So they require what? Answer me. They require what? Preparation time. Preparation time. Somebody say an amen. They require what? Preparation time. Hallelujah. Preparation time. There's this pastor. Please don't call the name. I know the name. As I'm talking now, some of you want to call. It's ethics that I'm not calling. There's this pastor in Nigeria that years ago, he came up and said God told him to contest for the president of Nigeria. And he contested like 3 different times. You know, nothing was forthcoming. Then he has stopped contesting. He has gone quiet. Now, personally, I may be wrong. Personally, I do not doubt that God told him to run as presidential candidate. But from the first time he started running, I doubted the timing. Not because of him, but Nigeria as a nation has not matured to where you have a pastor as president. As a nation, our carnality is too much to have a pastor lead us in that direction. And if you remember, he started contesting that since when? Was it Goodluck or Yaradua's time? Some of you said, even if I call the name, you won't know. You are not born. Well, ethics will not allow me to. Are you with me? So, if God gives you such instruction, you know that is what? Preparation. Somebody is borrowing me, amen. Another person is adding their amen. Let's mention the ingredient of preparatory phase. Quickly. What are the things I should do in preparation time? Preparatory phase. Hallelujah. Ingredients of preparatory phase. Number one, prolonged waiting on God in prayers. Prolong waiting on God in prayers. This verse of scripture that we read said John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the time. Until he started. He was just waiting on God, though, passively. He was in the wilderness until the time of his manifestation. Say an amen. Prolong waiting on God in prayers. Prolong waiting on God in prayers. There are certain instructions God will give you. You will know that, it doesn't look like where you are now. Am I talking to somebody? It doesn't look like where you are. Let me give you an example. Amen. When I was 19 years old, 2 months before my 19th birthday, that means just 18 years. Praise the Lord. Just 18 years. I had an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord said to me, I want you to raise quality ministers for me in this generation. I myself was not a quality minister. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, if I did not understand direction, preparation, and manifestation, at age 19, what would I have done? Register the name of my ministry with CAC. Quality Ministers of End Time. As you are laughing at me, I hope you are learning something. I use the next illustration with all respect. Well, he's my mentor, so you won't be offended. Reverend Joseph Akanya. In fact, he has said it here. Some of you had it. I don't know, maybe some of you. He was in a lorry. Early days, when he knew he was called into the prophetic, he was in a lorry in his early 20s. I think he was 21 or 22. Then he said, the Lord said to him, unless you leave Ilorin and eventually leave Nigeria, you will not enter into the real ministry I have for you. Now, so after that word, a few weeks after, he gathered himself, he moved to Kano. God said, it's not Kano. He moved to Kaduna. He said, no. He moved to Jos. God said, yes, it's here. He said, so should I start? He said, no, wait. There's somebody that will train you. Are you with me? Now, if you've heard his story, he got born again 1982 till now. To now, that's 44 years. And few years after he got born again, I think he's 83 or so, God told him about the prophetic that he's been in. So he's 43 years doing that ministry now. And God said, until he leaves Nigeria. And he has not left yet. Will not enter into what he has for you. One day I say, sir, leave now. He says, see, Pastor George. Now, so person will carry himself, they leave. So, what did I say is part of preparatory phase number one? Prolong waiting on God in prayers. Number two, training. Training. Amen. Training. God will take you through different training process. Like this one, you've been here since morning, is training. Even the fact that you couldn't say amen is proof you are going through training. Amen. Training is always palatable to the flesh. It's training. Rigorous training. God will remove some things that ought not to be in your life and add some things that ought to be. I mean, training. It's part of preparatory phase. Say an amen. Say an amen. I have called you and I have anointed you to bring the word of healing and healing ministry to your generation. The first thing is, what is the word of healing? Second thing is, how do I minister healing? Training. You get trained on that, then wait for when God will say it's time to launch out. But God told you on Monday, on Sunday, and that Sunday evening you went to hospital, heal. You say, hey, headache have left me. You say, headache leave immediately, healing ministry. Abba, Somebody told me one time about an assignment God gave him. The person has a good job. The person is working, paid job. He said, God is telling me to leave my ministry, my place of work, and go and start ministry somewhere. What? He said, but I'm afraid. I say, it's not God. He said, no, sir, I'm sure it's God. I say, it's wrong time. When the timing comes, fear has no place in you. When the right timing comes, your thinking is, if I perish, I perish. That you are still afraid. The timing never hits you. What's the second point I mentioned to you? Number three, spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. You read about this person? He grew. Hallelujah. Part of preparation phase is spiritual growth. Ah! You need spiritual maturity for your assignment. I bet me could not answer me. Permit me to fast forward. Let me tell you story of Moses. I'll come back. How many of us remember Moses? God called him to be what? A prophet and a deliverer. To deliver the children of Israel. Is that not so? Now, he was burdened with that same assignment. Then one day he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. Yeah! He brought out his knife. Kill him. Pow! Buried him. Then God said, this man has anger problem. The way he killed this Egyptian, if I allow him lead these stubborn and rebellious people, he will kill all of them in the wilderness. So God said, you will wait 40 years more. And you know when Moses now matured for his assignment, the children of Israel rebelled in the wilderness. God said, I will destroy them, Moses, but I will raise a new race out of you. If it was Moses of those days, he said, please do it so that they will know. They will know that Momo will know the joke. But when God said, I will kill them, he said, ah, Lord, the Egyptian will mock your name. Your anger does not last. Through spiritual growth, he has learned patience. Hi! Oh, dear God. Pastor Tim, let me face you as I tell the whole church. The people God is sending you to be able to work with them, you need patience, tolerance, endurance, and long suffering. So if you are the kind that does not take nonsense, God will not send you to lead his people anywhere. Because dealing with the people of God, you will take plenty nonsense. That's why they are called sheep of God. Sheep can behave like nonsense very well. Have you ever seen sheep? You are traveling on a long journey, you are in a vehicle, you are coming, pam, 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 the goat will run. What will sheep do? It will lie down there and be looking at you. Say, kill me and see now. These are the kind of people God is sending us to, sheep of his pasture. But because of patience, you will slow down, you will leave the road for the sheep, you will go off shoulder and go your way. The people you are dealing with. You will meet some that will say, if you are truly a man of God, curse me, let's see. And if you are a baby, you say, I curse you with leprosy. Instantly it will happen. Then God will judge you for cursing his child with leprosy. They know they hear me. They know they hear me. That is why. Can I talk to church workers now? That is why if they make you head of units, and you are always fighting people under you, I know you have not learned lesson for your future yet. God put you there to lead them, not to fight them. The people God put under you, you will need patience, long suffering, tolerance, endurance. Said they are taking me for granted. Is that the only thing they did to you? Jesus, they didn't only take him for granted. They mock him. They spat on him. They tore his clothes. Crucified him and said, if you are the Son of God, come down. If I were Jesus. If you are the Son of God, come down. I say, excuse me, God. Let me show them I know who I am. Take a look at me. I'm a wonder. I'll just come down. I say, receive blindness and be crippled. All of you. Then I will say, just for example. I'll go back to the cross. I say, now, open their eyes. I will ask them, who am I on the cross? All of you, snap me and put on your status, cross things. But they challenge him, but he did not see anything. Even a thief by his left hand. Since we are the Son of God, save yourself and save us. I don't know why I'm tempted to keep talking like it's only pastors I'm talking to. But you are all learning, are you not? Please note this. In life and ministry, we are not permitted to prove anything. You are not permitted to prove anything. You are called to serve people. You are not called to prove something to them. God heals. I mean, if you doubt it, come here tomorrow. Last Sunday, if you were here, you saw people that were healed instantly. And I'm glad they were healed without me touching them. I was just teaching. God touched them. So nobody can. Come tomorrow. You will see people with different kind of healing. God heals. But you know what? He does not heal to prove a point. He heals because he loves. He heals. Even now as I'm teaching, if your faith is received, released, healing will meet you where you are. They said to a man that was healed, 6 days in a week, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. But God heals any day. So not until Sunday of healing and miracle. Even now as I'm talking, you will testify. Let me hear amen. Amen. Let's have supporters club say amen. Amen. But we are not here to prove anything. People will misunderstand you. They will misrepresent you. They will challenge you. They will speak derogatorily about you. You are not permitted to answer back. You know, but in our family, then immediate, now extended, now I have another family. Our family, where we all came from, Dr. Anointed, myself, Dollar, all of us, 8 sons that my mother gave birth to. Nobody was hot-tempered like me. Nobody. Ask them. The way my temper was hot, one day my mother said, if I had slept off after giving birth to you, I would have sworn they exchanged somebody for my son. Say, I couldn't have given birth to this terrible thing. And yet, God has called me to lead his people. So the moment the call came, what did God start dealing with? Anger. Anger. And if you are here, you are born witness. If you've been here up to 5 years, you are born witness that many people say, Pastor is just weak. People, they do things. You know, they even talk. He can't rebuke them. He can't beat them. I feel like saying, God, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first begin. You see why we should not be singing some songs? Imagine if God take me back just for 1 month. Vivian. Fire and brimstone. My mother used to say that you are possessed. Even me, I believe that I was possessed. Because I'll finish some manifestation, I will say, flesh and blood cannot do this. It's a demon. And here am I to lead the sheep of God that will tell me, Pastor, I've done traditional wedding and court wedding. Should I marry him? And you must be there. The wedding was 2 weeks from that time. When she said it, I said, yes, ma'am. After saying yes, ma'am, I feel like singing that song. Lord, take me back. God will first prepare you for where he's taking you to before taking you to that place. So if your journey is slow, the problem is with preparatory phase. With God, there is no carryover. Until preparation is complete, He will not send you. So when I see some people charging today, some pastors charging, man, I'm no nonsense. I say, yeah. You are still where we left over 20 years ago. We are celebrating what we left over 20 years ago. Yeah, I take nonsense. Because I know how much nonsense God has taken from me. And He said, when you are restored, restore your people. The second one I said is what? The third one is spiritual growth. Amen? Then the fourth one is becoming strong in the spirit for the assignment. Number four, strong in the spirit for the assignment. You see, Pastor Joe, God can tell you today about an assignment that will require 25 years for you to start fulfilling. Now, didn't I tell you that when I was 18 years, He was telling me to raise ministers? That's why when some teenagers are bouncing their head, we say, come for midweek, you will not come. You say, I'm Papa, I'm Apostle, I'm called. I know who I am. I looked at them. The principal was once a student. Where you are now, I've been. So I know what I'm telling you when I say, sit down and learn. Come for midweek service. No, sir, you don't understand. They made me papa of our fellowship. What is the fellowship's name? Hey, Kagudu Ba Future. Be strong in the spirit. Say amen. That's four. The fifth thing about preparatory phase is timing. Perfect timing. Wait for the perfect timing. Wait for the perfect timing. How will I know it's perfect timing? God will tell you. He will first ring an alarm. Alarm will ring in your heart. Hallelujah. Perfect timing. I had this definition years ago. It has not left me. Perfect timing is when all the necessary spiritual ingredients for the assignment is ready. All. You struggle to pray for 30 minutes, but you want to write a book, How to Spend Long Time in Prayer. Apply your teaching first now. Apply your teaching to yourself first. Become your message first before becoming the messenger. Hallelujah. Hi. Are you blessed so far? I say, are you blessed so far? So let me give you an example. I will go to Moses' life, but let me give you an example, then go to Moses' life and just finish this direction, preparation, and manifestation. Among the three of them, the easiest one is manifestation. Manifestation is the easiest, followed by direction. The most challenging is preparation. Preparation. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So, for example, if God drop an idea in your heart to write a book on manifestation of the Spirit, and even you don't know manifestation of the Spirit, what does that tell you? Does it mean the idea is not of God? Answer me. Is of... Kai, why didn't I read that scripture? Habakkuk chapter 2, quick, from verse 1. Wow. Oh, praise God. I'm getting blessed talking to you today. Thank you for two amen. In fact, I'm already tempted to share this same thing in pastor's retreats. Habakkuk 2 verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me on the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Next verse, and the Lord answered. Let's read it together. Write the vision and make it what? Plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. Verse 3. That's where I'm looking for. Verse 3, please. For the vision is yet for what? Say it again. The vision is yet for what? Then he said, but at the end he shall speak and he shall not lie. Though we tarry, what should we do? Wait for it. Dear man of God, wait for the vision. Don't run ahead of the vision. Wait for it. It's yet for an appointed time. Somebody say amen. Say another amen. Now, I want to talk about Moses a little bit. Amen. Just a little bit to connect these things I'm saying. Then we would have finished this. I want to believe somebody had something. Three years ago, 2023, God used his servant Reverend Joseph Akanya. You had it, maybe you have forgotten, to tell me right here. He was standing here, I was here. He said, your time in Zaria is over. See, I'm still here. Well, 3 years after, I still stay here. Why would I not pursue me? Your time in Zaria is over. So I'm outside God's will. Is that not so? Huh? See, when God gives a word like this, the vision is yet for an appointed time. I will show you one way you will know that it's time. How many of us really want to know? Very few persons. Okay. Let's read about Moses. Moses chapter 7. You know Moses chapter 7? Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Stephen said something about Moses there that I want us to see. Okay, Acts chapter 7. Hallelujah. Ooh. They read in long, small. No problem, I will read it. Okay, verse 20. Yes, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished. You know, the New King James says it was well pleasing to God. Amen. Let's read the New King James. In which time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. Let's keep going, please. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Are you seeing preparation? He was born as a deliverer. The first thing was God made sure that he was raised up some few months under his parents' to let the Jewish thing enter. I'm too sure every day as the mother was beating him, she was saying, you're a Jew, you're not an Egyptian. You're a Jew. It entered his spirit. Then God took him to Pharaoh's house to be raised. They trained him there. Pharaoh trained him to come and defeat Pharaoh and Egypt. All the wisdom of the Egyptian was mighty words and deeds. Yes, 23. Now, please, go with me slowly now. These are the things I want you to note. Now, when he was what? 40 years old. It came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Who put it in his heart? Thank you! Clap for yourself. It's like you understand me. So, when was the assignment of Moses made very clear to him? He knew what he was sent for when he was 40 years. So at 40, direction came very clear to him that this is what God will have him do, deliver the children of Israel. Now let's read further. You will see how we miss it. Direction has come. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Why? Because he was wicked? No. For, see the reason why he killed him. Please answer. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God will deliver them by his hand. Hey! I need to leave this thing. When I know they see him. See the next thing. He thought they would understand. Read the last sentence. But they did not. I beg, say it aloud. They did not. Please write this, never forget. Nobody will understand your calling better than yourself. Nobody. Every other person is supporters club, including your father in the Lord. Your calling is yours. It's the Holy Spirit and your spirit that can understand. Nobody will understand your calling better than yourself. Are you with me? Now, so, that is to tell you, Moses did not kill the Egyptian because he was wicked. In the mind of Moses, in his heart, killing the Egyptian was pursuit of his calling. You know what was wrong with what he did? Wrong timing. Hey. Yeah, woo. If you are still with me, say amen.
Yeah.
Now, so let me do a little mathematics. Maybe if I do a little mathematics, you understand what I mean by wrong timing. Moses, when he was 40, direction came that God will use him to deliver the children of Israel. Then he went out to do deliverance and the thing backfired. Then he ran to the wilderness. He remained there until when he was 80. Additional 40 years. When he was 80, that God now told him it's time to go back. Are you with me? If you are still with me, say amen. Now, out of that 40 years, if you do biblical mathematics, God has said to Abraham that your seed will serve in a foreign nation for 400 years. But they ended up staying 430 years. That means Moses, when he went back the second time, he was going back 30 years late. So the original time God has ordained that Moses will lead the children of Israel out was when he was 50. He went at 40. So he went 10 years ahead of time and caused him to experience delay of 30 years. Please write it in English. Hastiness results in delay eventually. You delay yourself, you delay God's program for yourself, you delay God's program for other people if you're in a haste. So if Moses had waited till he was 50, he would have done the deliverance. Maybe Pharaoh would have died and he would be the one in charge. Then he would say, okay, somebody be the acting Pharaoh. I'm leading the children of Israel somewhere till I come back. And he will go without suffering. Say amen if you're in the house. But because he went ahead of time, he experienced delay, he had struggles, and many things did not fall in place. Somebody say amen. See another good lesson here that somebody will catch. I'm about telling you how to know perfect timing. When it was not yet the right time, Moses was eager to strike and deliver. When the perfect timing came, God said, go to Egypt. He said, I cannot. You didn't hear that, did you? When it was not right time, he was eager to deliver the people. But when the perfect timing came, he said, I cannot. One way you will know your perfect timing for an assignment has come, you yourself will be reluctant about doing it. Any assignment you are in a hurry to jump into it, it's not your time for it. When perfect timing comes, you yourself will feel unqualified. So Moses, at the perfect timing, he said, who am I, Lord, to go and deliver your people? Please send somebody else. God says you. He said, no, I am not qualified. Somebody say amen if you got what I'm saying. Help me with an amen. If only Moses had waited patiently in Egypt. Amen. Maybe Pharaoh would have appointed him special advisor on security matter. Then he would say, hey, there's security issue. You see the way these people are growing, ba? Let's tell them to go to their father's land. Then as they go, Moses, they follow them. With ease. Pharaoh will even sponsor the journey. And the children of Israel will have been very obedient, knowing that Pharaoh, if you try it, I'll take you to Pharaoh now. It's good to follow God's timing. Say an amen. The only problem with Moses was that he went before the timing and struggle was inevitable. All I've been trying to tell you in this session is when direction comes, it's time for preparation. When should I start preparation? Immediately direction comes. Not a week after direction. Not 2 weeks after direction. Not 2 days after direction. Immediately direction comes. Preparation starts. Say amen. Hallelujah. Say another amen.
Amen.
If God is telling you he's sending you as an apostle to Australia, immediately start praying for Australia. Start praying for Australia immediately. And start undergoing training on apostolic ministry. Don't answer the title. Learn the job. God just told you that you come out and meet your friend. He said, what is my name? He said, Samson. No, don't call me Samson. Call me Apo. Waiting. Preparation. Preparation. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you, the easiest part of divine direction is manifestation. And once preparation is in place, manifestation will show up. When word comes, it's time for preparation. Are you with me? Come on now, are you with me? Aha. So, you have never written a book. You are not even thinking of writing a book. Nothing. But then in the place of prayer or meditation, the thoughts start coming to your heart to write a book on miracles. A book on workings of miracles. There are two possible wrong ways you will respond to that. In fact, three possible wrong ways. The first wrong way is to say that thought cannot be God. But based on our teaching, if you write on miracles, will God be glorified? Will he bless humanity? So he's of God. You cannot throw it away. The second possible error you will do is you run to Pastor Anointed. It's you that God is saying to do healing and miracle. Write on this. But if God wants him to write on it, he will tell him. Why is God telling you? The third possible error is you hear that word on Sunday. On Monday, you write the book. On Tuesday, you take it to press. On Wednesday, it's launching. Divine speed. No, but the right thing is you hear about such, you start praying about it. Maybe all God wants you to do is pray that the person that will write it will pick the signal and write. So you start praying about it. You pray about it, you think on it. Pray about it, think on it. If you are the one to write it, in the course of prayer, God will tell you the assignment is for you. Prepare yourself, you will write. If you are not the one, after praying sometime, you will see the book battered. The burden will leave you. One other sign that perfect timing has come is burden for the assignment. The burden for the assignment will not just leave your heart. No matter what you do, you try to push it away, no, it will come back. You try it again, it will come back. I beg to stop here. Before the next session. Burden for the assignment. Burden for the assignment. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Oh, I should add this one. We are talking about how to know perfect timing. Is that not so? Right hand of fellowship from your mentors. Right hand of fellowship from your mentors. In Galatians chapter 2 from verse 7, Paul, writing about himself, said, let's look at it. Right hand of fellowship from your mentors. Galatians 2 from verse 7. He said, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. What happened? Verse 8. For he who walked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also walked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas what? Right hand of fellowship. If you remember, hi. Let me take you back a little. Amen. They gave me, see the people that gave him right hand of fellowship. James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who are pillars, his mentors. These are mentors. They looked at him and said, Oga, you are apostle to Gentiles. But let me show you the things that preceded this. Are you with me? Are you ready? The first thing that preceded this right hand of fellowship is that Saul had an encounter on the way to Damascus. Jesus told him about his apostolic ministry. Then the next thing that happened is he sent Ananias to confirm it. He got him filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he started preaching as brew, not even as a minister. Then the next thing that happened is Paul, under Barnabas, together with Barnabas, we are fulfilling ministry as prophet and teacher. Look at Acts chapter 12, the last verse, please. See what happened in Acts 12, the last verse. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. Read with me. I need to hear you now. When they had what? Fulfilled their ministry. It's after they have fulfilled their ministry that, go to chapter 13 now, verse 1 and 2. They have fulfilled their ministry. Fulfilled. 13, verse 1 and 2. Immediately after chapter 12, they are fulfilled. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that have fulfilled the ministry. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I have for them. So all the ministry they fulfilled was preparatory phase. After they fulfilled preparatory phase, the Holy Ghost now brought direction. It's time for apostolic ministry. Even after the separation, they did apostolic ministry for many years before Peter, James, and John gave them right hand of fellowship. That now it's time for apostolic ministry. I strongly believe many of us, when it comes to divine direction, we run ahead of God. Especially when you hear a word that excites you so much about your life. It's describing your future. It's not the real you are seeing now. Go and look at yourself in the mirror. You don't look like that word. You are struggling with house rent. Even now, even before you came to church, landlord gave you quit notice. Then you come to church and by the Spirit, somebody say, I hear the Lord saying I've made you a gospel billionaire. Now your future. You just told the landlord, I beg, give me 1 month more. Then you heard that word. You go back home and say, I'm a gospel billionaire. It's landlord that will humiliate you. So let your mentors give you right hand of fellowship. Let them tell you, hey, it's time. But these days what we have is a protege that will give mentor left foot of fellowship.
We believe you have been greatly blessed and transformed by this message. To access more messages and resources, visit www.fdimglobal.org. You can also connect with us on Facebook at The Father's Delight International Ministry, Instagram at FDIM Zaria, YouTube, Joshua Tende. Thank you for listening. May the Lord enrich you richly. God bless you.
My life pleases the Father, pleases the Father forever.